WSDS 1480 AM Studio B, serving southeastern Michigan. It's Veterans Radio.
Good morning, America. How are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son.
Good morning, America. How are you? Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Throneberry, former Army aviator with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company in Vietnam in 1969. My wingmen today are Bob Gould, an airborne medic with the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky in 1962. And trying to keep us on time is Ken Rogge, former Air Force Senior Master Sergeant with the Armed Forces Radio for over 20 years in Thailand and Germany, just to name a few places.
All right. November 15th, 2003. How's that for technology, folks? This is Dale Throneberry with Jim Falzone, Kate Melcher, and anybody else who wants to join in the party. This is our 18th anniversary, folks. 900 programs, 300 podcasts. We've been on three or four different radio stations, but we're still here. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We are very excited to have you here. If you would like to give us a call, that number is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. Joining me in the studios today is our newest crew, I guess you could say. That is Jim Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans, a longtime supporter of Veterans Radio. Jim, welcome into the studio today.
Hey, Dale, great to be with you. And 18 years, holy cow.
Yeah, we were much younger then.
Less gray.
A lot less gray. And also from the board of Veterans Radio America is Kate Melcher. Kate was an Apache pilot, and she is currently the executive director of Fisher House, Michigan. Kate, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Dale, and congratulations to you on 18 years on the air. I've learned so much in the last few years, and I can't wait to continue going through the archives of those 900 programs you've produced.
I was going through the archives myself today, which was where I found the original program, which I have to say is a copy of a copy of a copy because it was recorded on a cassette tape. We didn't have any, you know, we didn't have the capability at WSDS to record the program on a CD yet. And so that was the way the program going. I was hoping that that Bob remembers to call in today. I really wanted to get Bob on the program to talk about that first episode of Veterans Radio because it was quite the adventure. For those of you not familiar with WSDS in Ypsilanti, Michigan, it used to be an old rock station. Golden Oldies is what they played, and it's now it's Latino station. And it was interesting. Let's see. The studio, I think, was built around 1940-some. And the soundproofing on the walls was shag carpeting.
And, oh, boy.
And they had at least three or four cats that wandered around the studio. And they would walk right across the control board as the program was going on. So sometimes the video would, or the audio would disappear, and sometimes it would go really loud and so forth. And I think that their output, their power was about 1,000 watts, I think is what the term might be. But every once in a while, their transmitter would go down and you had to go over and bang on the transmitter to get the power back on again. So it was quite the adventure. During that program, we had a lot of local veterans on from the Ann Arbor area. John Kinzinger was there. Gary Lilly was there. He wasn't part of the team initially at the beginning. So it was Bob, Ken, and myself, and George Cook, who was the owner of the station, and all he wanted to do was sell the thing. He was the son of the original owner. And so he slept in the office there. It was a very strange place, but hey, we were on the air and it was so exciting. It was through people, like Jim, it was through Legal Help for Veterans and, my good friend Ray Schrader Schrader Yachts in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, who got us, you know, the funding to get us on the air the very first time. So it's been a big adventure, and I'm really excited to kind of talk about it a little bit more today and hope that people will come in and join us. Again, that number is 822-1600. I know we have to thank our sponsors. So while we're doing that, let's see, give us a call. That's all we want. Don't call me on my phone. Call 822-1600. I just got a phone call. So the first sponsor is NVBDC, and that's Jim's find. So tell us all about NVBDC.
Yeah, we've had great support by Keith King and the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC, which is a 501c3 designed to help certify veteran-owned businesses so that corporate America and the federal government can rely on working with truly veteran-owned businesses. So Keith is a Vietnam vet, Army, and is really committed to advancing veterans being in the business world. And a few years ago, with a lot of other hard-nosed guys who said, this needs to be done and we'll be the guys who do it, they set up nvbdc.org to help businesses get certified. It's a rigorous program. These are truly veteran-owned businesses. They're not fronts. They're not shams. They're truly veteran-owned businesses, and they do great work nationwide, and we're glad to have them as sponsors here on Veterans Radio and put one of their members in the spotlight each month to highlight what they're doing.
Right. Let me give out that whole number. That is 734-822-1600. Area code 734-822-1600. Our other sponsor is the Eisenhower Center here in Ann Arbor and in Jacksonville, Florida. They are an inpatient and outpatient facility for treatment of post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injuries. You don't have to be a veteran. It could be anybody, athletes, civilians, anybody who's been in a car accident and so forth. That's where I first heard about them was a friend of ours had a nephew who was in a very terrible car accident and was sent to Eisenhower for that. And so you can find out more information about them there. Just go to their website. That's EisenhowerCenter.com. It's a terrific organization. Do great work. And we're very, very excited to have them as a sponsor of Veterans Radio. And the other one, of course, is Legal Help for Veterans, which is a legal firm helping with disability claims for veterans. And Jim happens to be somehow involved with that. I don't know what he does there. Tell him what you do there.
So Legal Help for Veterans works with veterans nationwide on their disability claims, whether it's getting an initial claim or we work a lot on appeals as well as increased ratings. And over the years, it started because my dear wife, Brigadier General retired, said, hey, I've got one buddy to – maybe you can just help out this one buddy of mine. And now 23 years later, I think we have about 1,600 of her buddies who are actively engaged with all kinds of situations. And it's really an honor to help them work through the bureaucracy. 20 years ago, VA thought, well, you don't really need any help. We're so veteran friendly. And it's kind of like this show. If you think back 18 years ago, we were just beginning the Iraq-Afghanistan series of war. And working with VA is a very complicated process, as we talk about every month here on the benefits program on Veterans Radio. So that's what we do. We work with veterans to help them get the benefits that they've earned and they deserve.
Well, you know, we couldn't do it without your support, Jim, and along with those other organizations. And you're going to hear us talking about fundraising today a little bit, not quite like some of the telethons that are out there, but we are encouraging you, if you do support Veterans Radio, please, you can go to our website and click on the Buddy Money or, you know, contact us, whatever it is that you need to know. We do have a Facebook page out there now that has been asking for donations as a fundraiser, and that's been doing pretty well. We have an anonymous source who is going to match our your contributions up to $1,800, which is that covers a lot of our expenses. You know, we started off on one station, and I think it cost us then $75 a month to be on the air. And I'll just say it costs a little bit more than that right now. So, you know, we are continuing to go along. It was an interesting, I'm going to do a little quick transition here with what Jim talked about. When we first went on the air, and one of our motivations was to tell these stories was what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan at the time. And we've came across this organization called the Michigan Moms, Michigan Military Moms. And I wanted to play you a little recording that we did on the very first show of these military moms sending messages out to their sons that were overseas. So, Derek, if you could play that clip.
Hi, this is Sandy Tarkowski, proud Michigan military mom. Hi, Corporal Kevin, soon to be sergeant. Can't wait for you to get that promotion. Hope you had a great time at the ball the other night, and I'm very proud of you and what you're doing, and I miss you a lot, and I can't wait for you to come home for Christmas. And I want to thank the Veterans Radio for allowing me to send this message to you. See you soon.
Hi, my name is Nancy Persling. My son is Tech Sergeant Roger Persling. I just want to say to him how proud his whole family is of him and his accomplishments. I love you very much, Roger, and sure do hope that you're able to come home before you deploy. And I certainly want to thank the Veterans Radio Network for this opportunity to allow us mothers to be able to talk to our children. Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Regina Adams, and I'm a proud Michigan military mom. I just want to say hi to my son, Specialist Len Adams, in the Middle East. Hi, Lenny Penny, how you doing? We at Michigan Military Moms just want to let you guys know that we're so proud of you, and we're looking forward to the day that you guys can come home. We also want to thank the Vets Radio for this opportunity to let us talk to the guys who are overseas. Everybody, keep safe, keep strong, and remember, Lenny, we all love you.
Hi, Ryan. It's Mom. I just wanted to give you a quick word and say hi. We love you. We are so proud of you. Dad's at work right now, but he misses you too. And just everybody back home is just fully supporting you and behind you 100%. I'd like to thank the radio station for giving me this opportunity to be able to say hi to you.
Okay, that was Michigan Military Moms on November 15th, 2003. And luckily, all of those two boys came home. So I'm real happy for that. I wanted to bring on our other guest host on today's program, and that is Kate Melcher. And Kate is executive director of the Fisher House, Michigan, and she is also on Veterans Radio America Board of Directors, along with I make sure I get everybody on here. Lydia Pinkham, who is a Coast Guard veteran. Christine Cook, who is a Army colonel and now doctor, PhD type, Christine Cook. Dr. Eric Fretz, Kate. And I've known Kate for quite a while now, and I wanted to bring her on to talk a little bit about what is going on with Fisher House as well as what's going on with Veterans Radio. So, Kate?
Well, thanks so much, Dale. And it's appropriate that you're giving me a little bit of time right after the Michigan Military Moms were talking to their deployed sons, because that's what we get to do at Fisher House. We get to take care of those moms, the spouses, the children, the caregivers. Anybody who's caring for a hospitalized veteran, if they've got to travel to the Ann Arbor VA for that care, we want to put them up at the Fisher House. A good analogy is that it's like a Ronald McDonald House for our military and veterans. And while we're not affiliated with that program, I really like how familiar the Ronald McDonald program is, so people can relate right away. You know, there's 92 Fisher Houses all over the world, not just in the United States, but there's actually a couple in Germany at Landstuhl. And that's because if there's a soldier or Marine or airman that's injured overseas, their first stop is there in Germany. And Fisher House believes that we got to get those families together as soon as possible. If your loved one is injured overseas, you certainly don't want to wait for that loved one to come all the way back to the U.S. You want to get to them. So with those 92 around the world, until 2020, Michigan didn't have one. But I'm proud to say that our community here in Southeast Michigan helped build Michigan's first Fisher House. And since June of 2020, that house has hosted nearly 2,500 military and veteran families, even during a pandemic. It's absolutely incredible.
Wow, that's incredible. That's great news, Kate.
Absolutely. You know, and we're not done. Our next goal is to build a Fisher House to support the John D. Dingell VA Hospital in Detroit. So because that Ann Arbor House is so busy, and let me give you a little bit of context here. There's a Fisher House that was built in Dayton, Ohio to support the VA Medical Center at Dayton. It's been open for 36 months, and they just celebrated their 1,000th family. The Ann Arbor Fisher House has been open for 18 months, half as much, and we've hosted more than double the number of families. Folks are coming from all over the United States to get the quality medical care that they can access at VA Ann Arbor. And thanks to community care partners like Michigan Medicine, specialized care is available here. So we're incredibly lucky to be Michigan veterans. And I'm so grateful that the community came together to help care for the caregivers by building a Fisher House here in Michigan.
Well, it's a beautiful house. Although I haven't been able to get the official tour because of the pandemic, but eventually I'll get over there, I'm sure of that. So
absolutely. You know, we've been talking about Fisher House for years, but until you actually walk into the Fisher House, you don't really understand what it means and what it feels like. You know, of those 2,500 families, Dale, many of them leave us notes in the leather-bound journals that are in each of the private family suites. And my favorite story to share, and I think your audience will appreciate, there was a Vietnam veteran that stayed with us at Fisher House, and he took up 3 pages of that journal to talk about his journey and his gratitude that he and his wife wanted to express. And he said, you know, I was in Vietnam. I knew what I did there. I knew what my platoon did there. And I was proud. I was proud that we were able to bring home as many of my brothers as possible. And I didn't realize that pride was not the appropriate response to my service. As soon as I came back to the United States, you know, the U.S. basically told him that shame was more appropriate than pride. And so this decorated veteran took his ribbons off his lapel, put them in a drawer, didn't talk about his service, didn't share with stories, didn't join a legion, refused to get care at the VA, just completely dissociated from his military service. Well, he's needed some medical care, and his wife said, you know what? There's a Fisher House in Ann Arbor, which means I can go with you. And that means we are going together. You're going to get the medical care that you need. And he writes that the moment he crossed the threshold to the Fisher House, the warmth of the home, the beauty of the appointments, the fellowship, the brick and mortar support system that he felt, he said, I've been waiting 50 years for this kind of gratitude. I waited 50 years to feel this kind of honor. This is the thank you that I thought that I deserved. And when, you know, and he's come back for other episodes of care, and bless his heart, he now wears a Vietnam veteran cap. He wears a Legion jacket. He started to share stories with the other veterans and their caregivers that are at the Fisher House. And he's making up for 50 years just because the Fisher House made that possible for him.
Well, I think that's great. And that's exactly what Fisher House is supposed to do. And I think it's great. We do have a call on the line right now, and I wanted to get to him. This is Bill Bruins, and Bill is the program director out of KMET, an affiliate of Veterans Radio in California. So, Bill, welcome to Veterans Radio Live.
Hey, thank you very much, Dale. This is Bill Bruins out here near Palm Springs, where yesterday we had 99 degrees.
We had 2 inches of snow.
I saw your temperature back there.
Well, I know you're from the Midwest originally, but as I mentioned before, we had approximately 2 inches of snow this morning, which is, you know, always exciting. But I wanted to make sure that I got you on the air today because we're so grateful to have an affiliate out in California.
Well, we appreciate you being on our station. You've been here for a couple of years now, and it serves all of our military from the former Norton Air Force Base here in San Bernardino and also March Air Force Base in Riverside. And then, of course, we're right next to 29 Palms training facility. So thanks for being with us, and we look forward to 2022.
Well, we are, because I just sent back the forms.
Yep, I got them today. I appreciate it. And I wish you all well. 18 years is a long time. And let's go for another, you know, 18, I guess.
That wouldn't be too bad. Heck, I'll only be, I don't know, 92, 93, something along those lines.
Well,
when we get there. But
our oldest programmer, Grandpa Bill, is 91, and he Skypes in every Saturday. So you can do it.
There you go.
There you go, Dale. He's laid down the gauntlet. We expect you to be here at 92.
Well,
there we go.
Everybody
that's
can
right.
tune
that's
in
right. What's another?
At 1490 a.m. and catch the program.
Okay. I'm sorry. We stepped on your line there.
That's okay. You're on Mondays on KMET at 9 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time, of course. And we look forward to tomorrow's program. I hope you all had a great Veterans Day. It's a little warm out here, but, you know, the temperatures will come down a little bit, I'm sure.
Eventually, right? Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate your call.
All right. You folks have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Bill Bruins, who is the program director out of KMET in California, one of the affiliates for Veterans Radio, and he's pointed out that the program is on at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Mondays out there. So if you're in California listening right now, you can get to listen to the program tomorrow. I think that's always fun. I always like talking with our affiliates because we get to find out, you know, if what their audiences are looking for. And it appears that everybody likes the same thing that we're doing, telling the stories. Just keep telling the stories. That's all I keep hearing. Just keep telling the stories. Jim, I know you were. Yes, go ahead.
Didn't mean to step on you there. I should mention, you know, we're broadcasting here from Michigan, but since we'll be on in California, I should let you all know that there are actually 6 Fisher houses in California, including Camp Pendleton, Long Beach, VA, West LA. Palo Alto has 2 Fisher houses up there. The Fisher House program stretches over many, many states, and California is one of the states that has the most Fisher houses.
Well, yeah, I think that's good for all of us to kind of remember here on Veterans Radio, because we are telling stories that reach veterans or are important to veterans all over the country. One of the things veterans often tell us they want to hear on Veterans Radio is, hey, what's the latest and greatest that VA is doing? I want to know about their research. I want to know about maybe some new treatments that I could discuss with the physician I see wherever my clinic is or my hospital is. And over the years, I think that's one of the things we've done well is work with VA to talk about the advancements in medical treatment that they've been involved in. We had a discussion in the last year about acupuncture becoming a very regular part of VA care. We've had those discussions about community and choice, different PTS treatments, TBI treatments. So I think those are things, Dale, that we hear from listeners all around the country who they're interested in the insights we can bring to them about what's happening at VA.
I agree, and I think that that's very important. You know, on our benefits program, we've got our resident experts, Michael Smith and Carol Ann Fausson, who are there to answer questions. And I know that we have helped many veterans get the benefits that they've been entitled to over the years. In fact, one got a nice check from a claim that they made almost 15 years ago. And so, you know, we can't do it on our own. That's one of the reasons that we're doing this, is to help as many veterans as we can. We really do appreciate all of you out there who did serve, who signed that, you know, that proverbial blank check. And just went forward and did your job. And that's what I keep hearing from veterans. We do one of the things that we do here from Veterans Radio here locally is a monthly program called There I Was, where we get together and we tell war stories. And because they all start with There I Was, and we've had people coming out for that. They initially low numbers, the pandemic hit. So we started that up again. It's on the third Thursday of each month. So that means that this coming Thursday, we're going to be doing it. There I was down at the BFW Hall 423 on South Wagner Road, starting at 7 o'clock. So come on out and, you know, you'll be able to talk with friends, people who have had similar experiences, maybe actually confirm some of your stories. I always like that when somebody says, oh, I really did that? I think that's so cool.
You're no longer the big fat liar. Somebody said, yeah, that actually did happen.
Yes, it's always like that. Somebody validates one of your stories. And, you know, if you don't embellish it, maybe they will. you know, it was interesting. Just a quick example of the way things are interacting here on Veterans Radio in our local community is that we just had the 30th anniversary of the local Washtenaw County Vietnam Veterans Memorial the other night. And a good friend of ours, John Kinziger, wrote a story, a book on the 76 veterans from Washtenaw County who were killed in Vietnam. And it turns out that one of those veterans, I flew into the base, Quan Loi, of Vietnam, on the day they were getting rocketed, and this young man was killed, unfortunately. So, you know, it's scary sometimes when you think about how close you could have come to things. And, you know, if you had only, you know, luckily I turned left instead of turning right, and so forth. So we encourage all of our veterans out there to try to set up these organizations or groups, or, you know, whether it's coffee or whatever it is, get involved with some veterans organization, because I think you'll find it very helpful to you. Really, it really does, because
it really is helpful, so that you don't feel like you're alone, Dale, right? How many times have we heard from somebody who said, I thought I was the only one going through this? So it's really important to get that support and information that you're not alone in this. There are resources available to help, but your problem is unique to you. But there's a lot of other folks who've had similar problems. One of the shows we did with VA that I thought was in that category of, I didn't know that, and geez, that'll help a lot of people, is there's actually a bunch of research that shows veterans have a higher propensity to a gambling addiction. And we did this with a doctor out of, I believe it was Cincinnati VA hospital. And it's because of that adrenaline rush, right? Whether you were a helicopter or on the ground fighting or whatever it might have been, you had this adrenaline rush. And they've done a bunch of research that correlates these things. And so I'm talking to this guy, I'm going, Doctor, I didn't know that. That explains a lot for a lot of folks. You know, some turn to motorcycles. You know, some turn to other sort of risky activity to get the rush. But that's what gambling does. So, again, you're not alone. There's resources out there, and you'll if you network with other veterans or you listen to the show, you'll find out, hey, you're not alone. There's help.
I think that's a very important thing that we all need to be aware of, you know, because as you said, when you sit down and you talk with another veteran, you'd find out that you're not alone. I mean, even if it's just talking about, you know, the barracks that you lived in, everybody's got a barrack story about somebody that was an unusual character. I mean, think about all the characters that we have met over our careers, not just in the military, but even once we got out. But I think that that's what's important to them. I want to take we're trying to reach one of our guests here to get him on the air. But I wanted to mention, before we, you know, take a quick break here, all the people that have been involved with Veterans Radio over the years. is, you know, and including Jim and Carol Ann Falzon, I want to make sure that Tammy Bethune gets her credit because she runs our social media for us and Facebook and everything else along the way. And I just couldn't keep this whole thing going without her. As I mentioned, Michael Smith, Kate, Christine Cook, Eric Fretz, Lydia from our board of directors, Nina, who was one of our interns a long time ago, Maria Ragu, who was one of our interns a long time ago, Matt Doerr, who now writes for the Ann Arbor, M Live, was, you know, one of our engineers, as an intern. So I think that is, important. And, you know, we're always looking for stories, folks. And so I want to encourage you, if you have a story or somebody you think that has a great story, to contact us. I think that is one of the ways that we get some of our stories is through you. So I encourage you to do that. Kate, you raised your hand.
I did. I actually wanted to echo what both you and Jim were saying about, you know, talking and sharing stories and knowing that you're not alone. And this past year has been pretty rough on my generation of veterans, those that served in Afghanistan. You know, traditionally, we've heard from the older generation of veterans that, you know, we're not joiners. And how do we get the Iraq and Afghanistan vets into the Legion? And how do we reach them? Well, right now, because of what happened with the end of the Afghanistan war, the Vietnam veterans have the opportunity to be present and to express an empathy that only the Vietnam veterans can understand. Those Afghanistan veterans are still processing what's happened over the last 20 years and the gut-wrenching heartbreak of leaving in the way that we had to. Vietnam veterans can understand that. And that's a brotherhood that is unique to people that served in those two theaters. And so I encourage you to try again to reach out to those Afghanistan veterans and, you know, vets that are my age and younger that served in Afghanistan. I encourage you to talk to the folks that have been there and that know exactly what you're feeling and what you're trying to process right now.
One of the ways that you can do that is that a lot of the local colleges and in your area, I'm sure, as well as in our area, have student veteran organizations. And I know when I came back from Vietnam in 1971, or I came back in 69, but when I finally, I shouldn't say finally, but when I got discharged in 1971, I came to a local community college, and there was a table in the student union that was sort of officially, unofficially reserved for veterans. And throughout my time at the community college, that's where you would go, because everybody that sat at that table was a veteran. And you just kind of, you know, you went there, you went to class, then you'd come back, because it was safe. Sometimes transitioning into civilian life is a lot more difficult than people think it is. And I think that by having these support systems out there, I know that our board member, Lydia Pinkham, was heavily involved with the Michigan student veterans. And you know, she had some great stories, success stories, and I know that Eric is working with them as well. We need to take a break. Oh, holy mackerels, look at the clock. We need to take a break right now, and when we come back, we've got a guest waiting on the line patiently for us. And so here we go. This is a little plea for your help, and also our Medal of Honor segment, which is all of them have been recorded by Ken Rogge, who was one of the original partners on Veterans Radio. This is Dale Thronberry, United States Army aviator, 1967 to 71, and one of the founders of Veterans Radio, along with Bob Gould, Kent Rogge, and Gary Lilly. Although some of our original group has moved on or rotated home, their replacements, including Jim and Carol Ann Falzon, Tammy Bethune, Michael Smith, Kate Melcher, Christine Cook, Eric Fretz, Lydia Pinkham, and many others have helped continue the mission, which has remained the same for 18 years, telling the stories of America's veterans. It's been over 18 years and over 900 programs since we told that first story, and we are determined to keep telling them for as long as we can. But we need your help to keep our mission alive. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America, which is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, which means your donation of support may be tax-deductible for you and your company. I'm asking you to go to veteransradio.net and click on Support the Mission. Don't like credit cards or PayPal? Click on the Contact Us button and you can send your support by regular mail. 900 programs and over 300 podcasts is a lot of storytelling, but we've only just begun. There are over 20 million more veteran stories across this great country, and we want to tell as many of those stories as we can. I'm asking you, go to veteransradio.net and help us keep this mission going. Thank you in advance for your support.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Second Lieutenant Darwin Kyle charged an enemy emplacement single-handedly, killing the three enemy soldiers. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
When his platoon had been pinned down by intense fire, Kyle completely exposed himself to move among and encourage his men to continue the advance against North Korean forces strongly entrenched on Hill 185. Inspired by his courageous leadership, the platoon resumed the advance, but was again pinned down when an enemy machine gun opened fire, wounding six of the men. Kyle immediately charged the hostile emplacement alone, engaged the crew in hand-to-hand combat, killing all three. Continuing on toward the objective, his platoon suddenly received an intense automatic weapons fire from a well-concealed hostile position on its right flank. Again leading his men in a daring bayonet charge against this position, firing his carbine and throwing grenades, Kyle personally destroyed four of the enemy before he was killed by a burst from an enemy submachine gun.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio celebrating our 18th anniversary. And I got a little tidbit of information for you. We were just talking about Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And Tammy sent me a text saying that we have over 50 programs related to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. So if you want to know what's going on, Veterans Radio is the place to go. You can also, as I said, find out more information about our other programs. I'm trying to think of all the people we have talked with over the years. Generals, you know, from privates to generals, from ensigns to admirals. So you can go into our website, type in a topic, and sure enough, a story will pop up for you. I want you to do that if you can. Joining me on the line right now is one of our favorite guests, one of mine, and he's a writer. I first met him, I believe, in 2009 when he was heavily involved. I might have even been president of the Military Writers Society of America, where we get a lot of our authors to help us. You know, we want to promote their stories. So, and he also did a segment on our program for a number of years called At Ease, where we would talk with authors on a regular basis. So right now I want to introduce you to Dwight Zimmerman. Dwight is calling in from Brooklyn, Michigan. Calling in from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Dwight, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. And happy anniversary to Veterans Radio. I when you told me about this, I said, wow, it's been that long, and I'm so happy for you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. That's what I love about live radio.
Yeah, there's no kidding what how many mistakes we've made over those 18 years either. It's a good thing we're not doing a blooper run.
Yeah, well, I probably contributed to a few of them.
It could be done. So it's what I know that you're still involved with the Military Writers. I would love to have you tell our audience a little bit about them.
The Military Writers Society was founded by Vietnam War veteran Bill McDonald, who was a helicopter pilot as well. And he saw it as a vehicle, after people in the service, were discharged, to use it as a vehicle to write their own stories as part of therapy. As you know better than me, because for those who aren't familiar with me, I'm a lifelong civilian. My father served in World War II in the 7th Army, many years later, the alcoholism that he experienced and other trauma, which I didn't understand at the time growing up, it's only much later that, and talking with other veterans and then working with the Military Writers Society of America, first as, a member and then later as a president, that I got to know more about what traumas veterans experienced. So even though I was removed from it, I was very sensitive to it. And I've been writing military history on a wide variety of topics, and basically trying to use my skills to help veterans through the Military Writers Society of America to help them, give them the writing tools they need to express themselves, just to get that story out there so it's no longer bottled up. Because, as you guys know, keeping it inside is just so self-destructive.
Right, absolutely. And, you've been writing stories, it seems like, forever, and some great ones. You've written many books about veterans, Medal of Honor recipients, and you recently started writing along with Doug Sterner, a series of books called Beyond Belief. And here's a chance to plug your newest one.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited about the series that Doug started. Our latest book that came out on Veterans Day, it's the third volume in the Beyond Belief series. It's devoted to military chaplains. And there are some absolutely amazing and inspirational stories about these men of faith who don the uniform are out there in the middle of battlefields, and of course they're non-combatants, they can't carry weapons and everything like that, but they're braving enemy fire and gathering up wounded, providing last rites, doing all manner of humanitarian services. And and we have just a fascinating and wonderful collection of stories from chaplains from the Revolutionary War up to present time. It's a great basket of stories of these incredible men. And the book is available on Amazon. I can't say enough about it. When I was I both contributed a number of chapters and then I edited it. And as I'm going through the editing, there were times where I just shook my head in awe and the tears were coming down, because what these men were doing, men of faith, in the most horrendous of situations, Father Capone, in North Korea, he was a POW, and under the most horrendous of conditions in which he wound up dying. He received a posthumous Medal of Honor, and his is just one of a wide range of stories of that. I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Well, we're proud to be a part of whatever it is that you're writing, Dwight. And as a matter of fact, here's a plug for next week's program. We're going to be talking with Dwight and Doug regarding Beyond Belief, the chaplain's version of the stories. So you're going to have to tune in next week to hear the rest of the story, as they used to say. So, Dwight, thank you so very much for calling in. It's been a great friendship that has developed because of Veterans Radio and the military writers. And I'm looking forward to talking with you next week.
Thank you, Dale. It's always a pleasure to be on your show and to talk to the veterans. And I'm just in such admiration of them, that they're willing to put themselves in the front line, for us and our nation. In my own small way, I'm happy to be able to use my talent to help tell your guys' stories.
Well, that's very true. Thanks again, Dwight.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Dwight has written all kinds of stories. I mean, he has a daily, I guess it's a Facebook post about interesting things in history, has to do with the military. And it's kind of cool, really. I like that. Kate, I wanted to bring you back on to talk a little bit more about your generation and, you know, why we are, you know, we're talking with Kate Melcher here from Fisher House, Michigan, but we're also talking to her as a veteran. And we want to try including more and more women's stories into our programming.
Well, of course, fortunately, in the state of Michigan, we actually have some strong female veteran leaders in state government. We have had female commanders of veteran service organizations. You know, it's a great state in which to be a female veteran. And so I would encourage women like Zanetta Adams, who's the director of the Michigan Veterans Agency, and Shelley Rood, who is currently a chaplain, and she's got a whole bunch going on out there in Macomb County. She's affiliated with Selfridge Air National Guard Base and the Eisenhower Center and the project to refurbish all of the barracks out there for use for veteran programs. She's heavily involved in programs for female veterans. I would encourage any female veteran out there who feels like she doesn't belong or she can't find other female veterans, call 1-800-MICHVET, M-I-C-H-V-E-T. That's a resource center at the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. And, you know, just say, look, I'm looking for a place to fellowship with other female veterans. And, you know, they'll have those resources available just with one phone call. It sometimes takes a lot to reach out. It can feel very isolating, especially after the pandemic. But, you know, I was the only female in every operational unit in which I ever served. And that doesn't make me unique. So I know there's a lot of women out there that can feel isolated as a veteran, even more so than other veterans our age. So I encourage them to reach out, try that phone number if you don't know where to start. But there are advocacy groups and storytelling groups and support groups all over the state of Michigan. And I'm certain in your own home communities around the country as well.
Well, I think that's important. And that's one of the other things that we do here on Veterans Radio is we'd like to point out organizations that are out there. You know, when I was talking to Dwight earlier, I mentioned the Military Writers Society, which was designed originally to encourage veterans to start writing their stories and to, you know, provide mentorship for them. And since they started, there are all kinds of organizations out there to help veterans. There are theater groups. There are painting organizations out there. There are movie-making organizations out there to help veterans either tell their stories or to just, you know, help in that transition. Sometimes we just need to get our stories out just to tell them. Go ahead, Jim.
And I, before my internet fades out again, I want to jump in and say that I think one of the things Veterans Radio has done a really good job on, and Dale, you should be commended with your other co-hosts on this, is you're telling stories from all generations, all branches of service, all demographics, whether it's men, women, Hispanics, African Americans, Native Americans. We've had stories about the service of all of those groups, all of those different types of patriots who have served their country. And again, I think that's one of the things Veteran Radio strives to do. And those of you who listen clearly, you heard in Dale's recitation of the Board of Veterans Radio of America, it's a really diverse group. Now, he'd like it all to be rotor heads, but we push them a little bit and make sure we get some other folks in there too. We even let the Navy in now and again. So, and everybody likes the Coast Guard. So that's not a bad deal, but I do think that's one of the ways, building off what Kate says, you have to reach out. All of those affinity groups have served the country so well, and we'll keep telling those stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Jim, it's interesting. As big as the Army can feel sometimes, it's also pretty small. You know, we are the one percenters, and so we can play 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon pretty darn quick. And if you don't feel like you've got a story to tell, you know somebody who does. And just as an example, my roommate in OCS, Officer Candidate School for the Army, was Tulsi Gabbard. She's sure. Got a few stories to tell.
Yeah, you got to get her on for us.
Yeah, that's your assignment.
At this point, I feel I went to Fort Rucker from listening to you guys. So, you know, I feel an affinity to Mother Rucker. So, it can be small.
We're looking for a few good Marines to be, you know, to be on our board and to also tell their stories as well. Kate just mentioned, you know, the 6 degrees of separation. I have a real quick story here. We just got together with a very good friend of ours whose husband unfortunately died of leukemia, and he was a classmate of mine at Fort Rucker. Went through Fort Rucker, went through Vietnam, came back, Agent Orange, so forth. And the story real quickly is that when Art was in the hospital, he was the trainer pilot for the Illinois National Guard, CW-5. And one of his pilots was Tammy Duckworth, and Senator Tammy Duckworth. And this was Tammy Duckworth before she went to Iraq and crashed and lost her legs. Well, after she came back and rehabbed and everything, and Art was in the hospital, she went to visit him, and we have a picture of that, and she brought him his favorite meal, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it was just awesome. And so
I love that story.
There are so many people out there that have stories like that, and that's, you know, that's something that we want to promote. We're coming up to the end of the hour. I'm not sure exactly how that happened, but we we want to thank everybody for listening. We've got 4 minutes.
Can I jump in quick? We also tell a lot of veteran business stories. So if that's more your thing, go to the website. You'll find some really interesting veteran-owned businesses, whether it's coffee or apparel or what have you. So that's one of the things that we've done. And if you're interested in Medal of Honor, we mentioned it. I should know this, but I don't know how many Medal of Honor recipients or folks associated with the Medal of Honor we've talked to over the years, but those are amazing men and amazing stories. So there's a lot in the archives that has been created over that 18 years.
Right. And we're just finishing up a project of putting all of our programs up in the archives. That means we had to take a number of them from tape and turn them into CDs. But we have Tammy and her daughter have been working on uploading those to our website. So we want to make sure that we thank everybody for the support that you've given us. We are using this opportunity another 18 years to ask for your help, to donate money if you can, or donate your stories. Those are free. And so all you have to do is just contact any one of us. Just go to Veterans Radio, click on the contact button up there, and let us know what your story is and what you'd like to do. We've got a lot of things coming up in the future. We're going to be talking, we're going to be talking about veteran businesses, entrepreneurship for veterans toward the end of the month. We're going to be doing a program on veteran businesses who want to sell their products for Christmas. Gifts for Veterans is coming up. First week of December, and everything else that you can think of. So with your support and with your help, we're hoping that we can do another 18 years. I want to personally thank the three guys who joined me when we first started this thing. That was Bob Gould, Ken Rogge, and Gary Lilly. We couldn't have done it at all if we hadn't sat down and figured out a way that we could get this thing off the ground and keep it going. There was four different personalities. Trust me, folks, it was an adventure getting it off the ground. But, you know, 18 years in the radio world is a long time. And we just want to thank everybody for tuning in and for listening to us. We've got about 30 seconds for each of you. Kate, if you have a final word.
I'm just happy to be part of the future of Veterans Radio. Thank you for the invitation and congratulations to you on 18 years of success so far.
Thank you. Jim?
Dale and team, WAM, WDTK, WKMET, all of our affiliates, thanks for helping us get the word out nationwide on this. Everybody's listening in on the internet. It's an honor to be affiliated with Veterans Radio and tell the stories.
Okay, so thanking our sponsors again one last time, NVBDC, the Eisenhower Center, Legal Help for Veterans, the Ann Arbor VA System, all of them, and you especially, our listening audience. We can't do this program without you. It's been our pleasure to do this, as I mentioned, for 18 years. You can listen through our archives. You can follow us on Facebook. Let us know what you want to hear. We'll match whatever it is that you want. So until next week, this is Dale Thronberry. You are dismissed.